I'm grateful that in spite of everything, we still have this opportunity to celebrate a short divine office together and to pray together. I just finished my second session of participating online in the Vatican's special affirmation and celebration of online digital missionary work. And it was such a beautiful time of affirmation and confirmation of what we're trying to do. So that was this morning, the last 2 days. I know that we only have about maybe a month and a half, and then we have Blessed Carlo Acutis, hopefully this time, his real canonization, and we're very excited to see the grace of the Holy Spirit poured out upon young people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing praise to God as we acclaim Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Very beautiful memorial of these three special friends of Jesus. We'll pray Psalm 63. O God, you are my God, for you I long. For you my soul is thirsty. My body pines for you like a dry, weary land without water. So I gaze on you in the sanctuary to see your strength and your glory. Let us sing praise to God as we acclaim Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. For your love is better than life. My lips will speak your praise. So I will bless you all my life. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul shall be filled as with a banquet. My mouth shall praise you with joy. On my bed I remember you. On you I muse through the night. Let us sing praise to God as we acclaim Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. For you have been my help. In the shadow of your wings I rejoice. My soul clings to you. Your right hand holds me fast. Those who seek to destroy my life shall go down to the depths of the earth. Let us sing praise to God as we acclaim Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us sing praise to God as we acclaim Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. What is our verse for this lesson? See, this is what happens when we don't practice. We get rested. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying. He tells of peace for his people. A reading from the second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. The spiritual fruits of this collection. There is really no need for me to write you about this collection for the members of the church. I already know your willingness and boast about you to the Macedonians with respect to it, saying that Achillea has been ready since last year. Your zeal has stirred up most of them. I nonetheless send the brothers so that our claims for you in this regard may not be shown empty. I do so that you may be ready, as I have been saying to you are, lest any Macedonians come with me and find you unready. Then I should be put to shame, to say nothing of you, for having had this trust. I have thought it necessary to exhort the brothers to go to you and arrange in advance for the bountiful gift you have already promised. It should be ready as a gracious gift, not as an extraction. Let me say this much. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Everyone must give according to what he has already decided, inwardly decided, not already inwardly decided. Not sadly, not grudgingly, for God loves a cheerful giver. God can multiply his favors among you so that you may work. You may always have enough of everything and even a surplus for good works. As it is written, he scattered abroad and gave to the poor. His justice endures forever. He supplies seed for the sower and bread for the eater, will provide in abundance. He will multiply the seed you sow and increase your generous yield. In every way, your liberality is enriched. Through us, it results in thanks offered to God. The administering of this public benefit not only supplies the needs of the members of the church, but also overflows in much gratitude to God. Because of your praiseworthy service, they are glorifying God for your obedient faith in the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with all. They pray for you lovingly because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Responsory prayer. Give to others and you will receive. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For whatever measure you give to others will be the measure you receive. Each person should give according to what he has inwardly decided, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For whatever measure you give to others will be the measure you receive. And our special reading for the Feast of St. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus is from the sermons of St. Bernard, Abbot. In our home, the law of love is ordered in three ways. Let us consider, brothers, how here in our home, the ordering of love assigns these three things: service to Martha, contemplation to Mary, penance to Lazarus. The soul that possesses all these at the same time is complete. However, each of them seems to pertain more to distinct individuals, so that some are free for holy contemplation, others give themselves to fraternal service, while still others ponder their years in the bitterness of their soul, like wounded individuals sleeping in their graves. It is therefore plainly necessary that Mary think devoutly and sublimely about her God, Martha kindly and mercifully about her neighbor, and Lazarus sadly and humbly about himself. Let each one consider where he stands. Even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were in the city, they could only save themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord. They could save neither son nor daughter. We delude no one. Would that none of you fool yourself. Indeed, for those to whom no stewardship has been entrusted, no particular service assigned, you will be placed neither with Mary at the feet of Jesus, or with Lazarus securely within the walls of his tomb. Why should Martha, who is anxious about many people, not be concerned about many things? But to you, who are under no pressure from this need, one of two things is necessary: either not to be anxious at all, but to delight rather in the Lord. Or if you are not yet able to do this, do not be anxious about many things, but as the prophet says of himself, be anxious for yourself. It is necessary, therefore, that Martha herself also be warned, for there will be a thorough search among stewards to see if any are found faithful. She will indeed be faithful who, with a pure intention, seeks not her own things, but the things of Jesus Christ, nor does her own will, but the Lord's, so that her action is well ordered. For there are some whose eye is not single, and they receive their reward. There are others who are carried on the impulses of their emotions, and all the things that they offer have been tainted because in them are displayed their own wills. Come with me now to the wedding song of Solomon. Let us consider how the groom, when he calls the bride, neither omits nor adds to any of these three things. Arise, he says, come quickly, my friend, my fair one, my dove, and come. Is this friend not she who, intent upon the riches of the Lord, faithfully disposes her very soul for his sake? For whenever she sets aside a spiritual exercise for the sake of the least of his, she spiritually lays down her life for him. Is she not fair who with unveiled face, by gazing upon the glory of the Lord, is transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, as by the Lord of the Spirit? as by the Spirit of the Lord. Surely the dove that sighs and moans in the cleft of the rock, in the hollows of the wall, is also buried beneath a stone. Responsory prayer. After Jesus raised Lazarus, they gave a dinner for him at Bethany. Mary then took a pound of costly perfumed oil and anointed the feet of Jesus, and Martha served. What a beautiful set of prayers, right? It kind of reminds me of my own penance, of what I'm trying to work on, allowing God to do things that annoy me throughout the day, interrupt the things that I'm invested in working on. That's kind of what St. Bernard reminded me of when he spoke about how people do all types of things, but they do them out of their own will. They're not willing to be disturbed and give up their own will in the various matters that come to them, to reorder them according to the Holy Spirit. And really, that's something that I need to learn, and it's something that our, honestly, the whole church is doing this on a massive scale, you know. Just because I think it makes sense doesn't necessarily mean that the Holy Spirit doesn't know better than you do and have a better way. And we need to be more patient, more careful, more discerning about the Holy Spirit. But anyway, my teacher gave a beautiful reflection today. She likes to give these little insights or short reflections about how this feast reveals that Jesus, in entering into human nature, loved the same that we way that we love. He loved the ordinary people in his life, his ordinary domestic friends. Even separate from his mission, he loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and they truly became his friends. So it's really beautiful to think about that on this day. I believe we can even pray a few more psalms, since we're kind of early now. But this is the end of our shortened divine office. O God, whose Son called Lazarus back to life from the grave and was pleased to be a guest in the home of Martha, grant us, we pray, that faithfully serving him and our brothers and sisters, we with Mary may be found worthy to be nourished by the contemplation of his word, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. And it's a beautiful prayer that just captures a lot of the kind of patristic interpretation and homilies from the fathers of the church that try to read these kind of symbolic characteristics or from their own life experiences and their own spiritual reflections into the story of Martha and Mary and Lazarus serving Jesus at their house and meeting him. So let's see what we have. Like I said, I was at this event, and it was so beautiful because for the first time, I think ever, the church is really getting behind the digital apostle. I remember some people, you know, were saying, oh, Dana, you're just doing this for fun. Don't you think it's fun? You know, they trivialize the digital apostolate. For a lot of people, they don't think that the digital apostolate is a real ministry. And what we've proven and what this event caps off is that even the Vatican now says, this is not child's play. This is not something you do for fun. It's not a quote-unquote personal choice. But this is a serious, serious apostolate that you can exercise now, that we give you your blessing to act on our behalf. So it's a really, really very beautiful celebration and encouragement that this is real apostolate. It's not half apostolate, half not. It's not hobbyism. It's not fan club apostolate. It's real apostolate. And the Vatican itself has confirmed this with the authority of Pope Leo XIV in this sequence of events, which I guess began with the Synod on Synodality last time, which is where this was in a sense discovered and brought up, and now has been brought to completion with the Jubilee of Digital Missionaries, which we recently finished this morning. Blessed be God forever. Again, I need to continue reading this diary of St. Faustina. Since we have a few minutes, I guess I probably should. A great mystery has been accomplished between God and me. Courage and strength have remained in my soul. When the time of adoration came to an end, I came out and calmly faced everything that I had feared so much before. When I came out into the corridor, a great suffering and humiliation at the hands of a certain person was awaiting me. I accepted it with submission to a higher will and snuggled closely to the most sacred heart of Jesus, letting him know that I was ready for that for which I had offered myself. Suffering seems to spring out of the ground. Even Mother Margaret herself was surprised. For others, many things passed unnoticed, for indeed it wasn't worth paying any attention to them. But in my case, nothing passed unnoticed. Each word was analyzed, each step watched. One sister said to me, "Get ready, sister, to receive a small cross at the hands of Mother Superior. I feel sorry for you." But as for me, I rejoiced at this in the depths of my soul and had been ready for it for a long time. When she saw my courage, she was surprised. I see now that a soul cannot do much of itself, but with God it can do all things. Behold, what God's grace can do. Fewer are the souls that are always watchful for divine graces, and even fewer are such souls who follow these inspirations faithfully. Still, a soul which is faithful to God cannot confirm its own inspirations. It must submit them to the control of a very wise and learned priest, and until it is quite certain, it should remain distrustful. It should not, of its own initiative alone, put its trust in these inspirations and all other higher graces, because it can thus expose itself to great losses. Even though a soul may immediately distinguish between false inspirations and those of God, it should nevertheless be careful, because many things are uncertain. God is pleased and rejoices with when a soul distrusts him for his own sake, because it loves him. It is prudent and itself asks and searches for help to make certain that it is really God who is acting within it. And once a well-instructed confessor has confirmed this, the soul should be at peace and should give itself up to God, according to his directions, that is, according to the directions of the confessor. Pure love is capable of great deeds and is not broken by difficulty or adversity, as it remains strong in the midst of great difficulties. So too it perseveres in the toilsome and drab life of each day. It knows that only one thing is needed to please God, to do even the smallest things out of great love, love and always love. Pure love never errs. Its light is strangely plentiful. It will not do anything that might displease God. It is ingenious at doing what is more pleasing to God, and no one will equal it. It is happy when it can give itself and burn like a pure offering. The more it gives of itself, the happier it is. But also no one can sense dangers from afar as can love. It knows how to unmask and also knows with whom it has to deal. But my torments are coming to an end. The Lord is giving me the promised help. I can see it in two priests, namely Father Andreas and Father Sapochko. During the retreat before my perpetual vows, I was set completely at peace for the first time by Father Andreas, and afterward I was led in the same direction by Father Sapochko. This was the fulfillment of the Lord's promise. When I was set at peace and taught how to follow God's paths, my spirit rejoiced in the Lord, and it seemed to me that I was running, not walking. My wings were spread for flight. I soared into the very heat of the sun, and I will not descend until I rest in Him, in whom my soul has lost itself forever. And I subjected myself totally to the action of grace. God stoops very low to my soul. I do not draw back, nor do I resist Him, but I lose myself in Him as my only treasure. I am one with the Lord. It is as if the gulf between us, creator and creature, disappears. For a few days my soul was in a state of continuous ecstasy. God's presence did not leave me for a single moment, and my soul remained in a continuous loving union with the Lord. But this in no way interfered with the performance of my duties. I felt I was transformed into love. I was all afire, but without being burned up, I lost myself in God unceasingly. God drew me to Himself so strongly and powerfully that sometimes I was not aware of being on earth. I had impeded and feared God's grace for so long, and now God himself, through Father Andreas, had removed all difficulties. My spirit had been turned toward the Son and had blossomed in his rays. For him alone, I understand no more. The sentence breaks off here and makes a completely new thought and a new line. I have wasted many of God's graces because I was always afraid of being deluded. God drew me to himself so powerfully that often it was not in my power to resist his grace when I was suddenly immersed in him. At these moments, Jesus filled me with such great peace that later on, even when I tried to become uneasy, I could not do so, and then I heard these words in my soul, "In order that you be assured that it is I who am demanding all these things of you, I will give you such profound peace that even if you wanted to feel troubled or frightened, it would not be in your power to do so today, for love will flood your soul to the point of self-oblivion." Beautiful, right? So she said, I heard these words in my soul, and I do not know what that means exactly, but I suspect it's not quite the same thing as an interlocution, where you actually hear some voice in your imagination. It could be something that requires a bit of discernment. Or, you know, there are plenty of people, and even I have had this happen once or twice, where the Holy Spirit actually will speak within your subconscious, and you can hear a sudden voice that you know is not your own. And it clarifies something, or it gives you... I remember walking down, and my dad was bugging me, driving me crazy. How am I going to find this name? How am I going to find this name? Dana, do you remember that prophecy? I need to do this video, and it was just driving me insane. And I told him, don't bother me, and I don't remember the name. And I was walking away, and as I was walking away, I literally heard a generic voice in my name, in my head, say the name of this prophetess that he wanted to do a video about. And I suddenly knew, yep, that's it. That's who he's talking about. And I turned around and I said, hey, Dad, isn't it so-and-so? So that's known as a locution, I believe. When the words just appear very suddenly, very clearly, like another voice is speaking into your mind, but it's not the same thing as schizophrenia, where people say that the birds are talking to them, and they say that the power lines are possessed by aliens or something. It's very sensible, very logical. It fits in with whatever you're doing or whatever your conscious mind is into most of the time, or what, in her case, what she's asking herself and being tormented over interiorly. So anyway, this is our time of reflection for today. I offer my partial or plenary indulgence for the soul in purgatory, and I thank God for this wonderful time. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Happy Feast of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus.